When the massive 32% UC education fee increase was posed during summer break 2009, the fall semester started off with a bang. All 10 UC campuses staged a walkout. At Berkeley, thousands rallied on the campus's main sprawl plaza, spilling into the streets. And that was just the inaugural event. Students organized in preparation for the November Board of Regents meeting, when they'd be voting on the fees. Sociology PhD candidate Zachary Levinson was one of them.
God, I feel like I've never been in that many meetings in my life. It was hard to keep up academically. I barely slept, but it was fantastic. I mean, I'd never seen anything like this on an American campus.
For the 3 days the board planned to meet to approve the fee hikes, students and faculty planned another walkout in protest. But this time, the turnout was lower than they had hoped.
On September 24th, we had 5,000 people come out. So we were pretty anxious to see what the turnout was going to be. We assumed, of course, it would be larger. It was a huge turnout. It was fantastic. But I can't say that the organizers weren't a bit disappointed. I mean, I don't want to speak for anyone else. I guess myself, I was a bit taken aback to see that after that much effort, 2,000 people come out.
The Board of Regents approved the fee hikes. Students in LA had it out with riot cops, and others occupied a campus building. So Levinson and over 100 people at Berkeley met to talk about their response.
As a body, we decided that escalation was necessary. I mean, overwhelmingly, people supported some form of direct action. So yeah, 43 of us ended up going inside Wheeler and locked the building down and occupied it.
Levinson and dozens of others blocked the doors inside Wheeler with chairs and waited for classes to begin. In a video documenting the occupation, the protesters are shown hanging banners from windows and speaking to people on the outside with bullhorns.
We have a 32% fee increase that we want immediately repealed. But you know what? We want a whole lot more than that. We want public education that is free. We want transparency and we want democracy. We want to democratize the region.
You could say it was a spontaneously organized action. Some folks inside didn't even know each other. They texted and called their friends to get them to come out for support and surround the building. And they did. All in all, they were in Wheeler for less than 24 hours, and none of their demands were met. But to them, it was a success. It meant a new stage in the movement. But these folks weren't just protesting a more expensive education. There was something much larger that the students were fighting for. Levinson, as a PhD candidate, will come out of the fee hikes unscathed. He took the risk at Wheeler on principle.
Education is arguably the most important public good. In addition to, of course, meeting kind of bare necessities and, you know, shelter and food and water and maybe this is a sociologist in me speaking or something, but if you look at any stratification research, I mean, again and again, the most important variable influencing class reproduction is education. And so as soon as you close off public education, or any education for that matter, to a massive segment of the population, namely the working class, elements of the middle class even, and students of color, you shut them out of a certain kind of class reproduction process, where these people are then excluded from a certain type of job, a certain type of white-collar position that I think a prestigious university like any university in the UC system allows you to obtain.
Levinson says he was protesting a trend that is changing the nature of public education in the U.S., a change enabled by the economics of the times.
We basically see the privatization of public education. These individuals, high up in the administration, have been using this financial crisis, which of course no one's going to deny, no one's going to say this crisis isn't real, but they've been using this crisis to force through an agenda of the privatization of public education. So this has amounted to, you know, mass layoffs, basically austerity measures. People who talk about structural adjustment imposed by the IMF and the World Bank in the 1980s and 90s as something happening over there, you know, something in Africa or Latin America. It's happening here, and we see it in California, and it's not just California. We see it, it's happening in the University of Illinois system, the University of North Carolina system. Talk to people organizing at Georgia State. I mean, the same thing's happening all over the U.S.
Levinson and others say the problem is not just a lack of funding from the state. They're concerned the UC system will use the fee hikes to back construction projects, not instruction. But university officials tell a different story. After the Regents meeting in November, UC President Mark Udoff is shown in a video surrounded by media. He frames the decision to raise fees as something that they had no choice but to do.
Is there any way to avoid the fee increase for students?
I don't think so. We're down over $1 billion. The state's down another $20 billion. We've cut people's pay. We have laid off 2,000 workers. We have shut down libraries, at least we don't do the late hours. We have reduced our supplies, our travel. I'm sorry. I mean, this is a situation where the students' rightful expectations just exceed the resources of the University of California.
Udoff says students from families who make less than $70,000 a year will not be affected by the fee hikes. And he pointed fingers at lawmakers in Sacramento.
You know, the problem is the master plan is sort of in tatters at the moment. I mean, it was a great plan. The students paid basically nothing to attend the university, high-quality education, research university, a big chunk of poor kids, always at least a third. And the plan's still a good plan. It's the execution in Sacramento that's the problem.
But some faculty don't see the problem as just a financial one. Laura Nader has been a professor at UC Berkeley for nearly 50 years. She sees a crisis of priorities.
Every time they want to change something in this country, the powers that be call it a crisis. If it's a crisis, it suggests that it's just beginning to happen and they have to do something about it quick. But we have the regents of the university for a purpose. They're supposed to see ahead and take care of the university, but they haven't been doing that.
Crisis mode is useful for government and corporations. Serves as a justification for shifting gears.
Nader's been active in the movement against the fee hikes. She spoke at a teach-in at the UC Berkeley campus about the budget crisis. She says there's been a trend towards privatizing the university for decades.
My husband graduated from this university in 1952. His fees were $28 a semester. And it did increase little by little. But then big changes started to happen in the late 80s, maybe earlier, and the 90s. What it means is that you value knowledge on the basis of bottom line. You start to give more money to certain parts of the campus than others. You start to not build a natural history museum, but you build stem cell buildings here on the campus, whereas at UCSF, they already have several buildings doing stem cell. You start to repeat why, bottom line. British Petroleum came in with $500 million. They didn't look at the consequences. They didn't look at whether we needed biofuels more than good transportation systems, or they just took it because it was money. They say, this is the bottom line, Laura. What do you mean? $500 million? You're going to turn that down? You're going to look at the consequences, I say. Your people are like dogs in heat. They see the money and they go for it.
Bob Meister is a professor at UC Santa Cruz and served on the University of California System-Wide Committee on Planning and Budget. He says a fee increase is part of a trend in debt-financed education. More debt, he says, will mean fewer people will be able to come out ahead.
What the university is doing now is no longer offering you an opportunity to get a higher education and improve your own life and conditions with no risk. It's asking you to assume a fixed financial risk upfront in an economy where the benefits of getting a higher education are very uncertain, but where your willingness to take that risk is going to make you keep on paying for a long part of your life for the choice you make now. President Udoff is trying to suggest that we're merely followers and this is happening everywhere. In fact, you see fee hikes, especially over the past decade and especially under Governor Schwarzenegger, have been much greater than elsewhere. So we're actually leaders in the trend toward privatization. And these tuition hikes are going to make UC fall rapidly relative to a great many other publics.
We will win. but it's going to take a while. I mean, this could take a couple years.
Zachary Levinson and others are organizing for an education system-wide strike on March 4th. No matter what happens on that day, he says their movement will continue to call for change in both the UC system and Sacramento.
First and foremost, this is a two-front war, and, you know, we could solve the problems in Sacramento, and it wouldn't solve a damn thing. I mean, if UCOP and the Regents are using budget shortfall coming from Sacramento as an excuse to privatize the university, I don't think solving the crisis in Sacramento is going to solve a thing.
Laura Nader says preserving public education requires good leadership, and a healthy democracy needs education that's affordable and accessible.
Is education a public good necessary for an informed people in a democracy, or is it a private good for the elite? This goes back to Jefferson. So it's a fight worth fighting, because I think it has a lot to do with the quality of a democracy. If you have uninformed citizens, you're not going to have a very good democracy. You're going to have a weak democracy. We're trying to spread democracy around the world. You have to be one to spread it. So here we are at a time when the empire part of the United States is being discussed and criticized worldwide. The only good things we have, we're destroying. It's like we're eating ourselves. Why would you destroy the one thing that the world thinks is the greatest thing we've got?
For Making Contact, I'm Pauline Bartolone.